I want to do something a little different. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read you out a letter that I've written to Jesus. And we'll see what the Holy Spirit wants to do as we read it out. And it's based on Matthew 26 through to 28. And there's a number of verses that this letter looks at. So, dear Jesus, I wanted to write a letter to you this Easter as a way of thinking deeply about the cross and the wonder of the joy of your resurrection. Lord, let the reality of your resurrection change my life today. Give me eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and a heart to believe you. Jesus, I can't imagine how it felt for you the 2 days leading up to the cross. The anticipation must have been agonizing. You were born to die, and you knew what was coming, and you saw that it was coming soon. You said when the woman poured perfume on your body, she did it to prepare you for burial. Wow, what a lavish gesture of devotion that was. Sometimes I think, because you knew how the story ends, that you knew it was going to end in resurrection, that facing the cross was somehow emotionally easy for you. But being prepared for burial was disturbing. The fragrance of the perfume must have filled your mind with the thoughts of the physical agony that was coming, the shame of the cross, the appearance of failure, defeat, and the sadness as you considered the grief that was about to descend upon your friends. Jesus, I can see the mental agony most fully in Gethsemane Garden. You experienced an intense feeling of great sorrow. Your heart was overwhelmed and crushed with grief. You prayed, if there is any way, get me out of this. Please take this suffering from me. In the garden, you were left entirely alone. With the panic and the horror. Jesus, you were victorious because you refused to run away, but faced the enemies inside, the doubts, the despair, the perplexity, the panic, the isolation. Jesus, you didn't pretend that things were better than they were. Because you suffered, you're able to help me too when I suffer. The cross and the resurrection are not the only places victory was won. There was a deep, genuine struggle behind your willingness to put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. You prayed, Father, can you get me out of this? The torment, the agony, the struggle that came out as your words of surrender. But please, not what I want. What do you want? Father, may your will be done. How costly was that decision to say, what I want is not important. I only desire to fulfill your plan for me. Wow. These words cost you everything. But somehow you saw me and it filled you with joy. Jesus, surely that's the root of mental agony. The pressure that led to sweating blood. You were choosing surrender and a willingness to embrace anything, cross, shame, whatever. All so that I, might enjoy the benefits of forgiveness and a whole new relational deal established by your cross and resurrection. The joy of bringing me home. The joy of friendship. Jesus, I wanted to write to you and remember the shame you endured to establish this new relationship between us. Your accusers spat in your face. They struck you with their fists. They slapped you, ridiculed you, mocked you. Accusations and slander rained down hot and heavy. Mockingly, they drove a crown of thorns into your brow, and your friends disowned you and deserted you. They nailed your hands and your feet to the cross, and whilst on the cross, people just waited to watch you die. People jeered and they shook their heads, spitefully ridiculed and mockingly said, "Show us your stuff. Save yourself. If you're really the Son of God, pull out the nails and come down from the cross." All around you, people were having a great time watching you die. He saved others. Can't he save himself? He was so sure of God. Well, let him rescue his son now, if he wants him. He did claim to be God's son, didn't he? Your very personhood and identity attacked, mocked and maligned. You were rejected. So that I might be accepted. In the midst of the loneliness, soldiers making fun, you kept silent. Not a word from your mouth. Jesus, you really are an incredible person. Under so much pressure, you maintained self-control and absolute focus and resolve. Even to the very last, you were without sin. Thank you for this. Jesus, you paid the cost of my sin. You died a real physical death in my place. The death I should have died, you died. You who knew no sin, in that moment on the cross became sin for me and experienced being deserted. From the cross, you cried out loudly and breathed your last breath. You were dead. You were gone. The piercing eyes of compassion closed. The voice that brought hope and joy and laughter to many silenced. The hands that released healing lifeless. The one who called Lazarus from the grave, "Come forth, Lazarus." Lifeless, dead, and placed in a grave himself. Jesus, I want to think about for a moment your friends and how dark and full of grief that Saturday must have been. Jesus, as a human being, I too find day two terribly hard. The day between loss and hope, the day between death and resurrection. Jesus, thank you that you've been there and that you fully understand. Your body was wrapped in a clean linen sheet and placed in a new tomb, in a tomb with a large stone across the entrance. You were definitely dead, gone no more. So much hope and expectation seemingly came to nothing. The end of the road and nowhere for your friends to go. Jesus, if this was the end of the story, then all I'd have would be an amazing example of a human at their very best and most dignified. Not much more than that. My greatest enemies, sin, death, Satan and sickness, would still be my master. Certainly no friendship with you. But that's not where the story ends. Death was swallowed up in resurrection. Defeat was swallowed up in victory. You said it would happen like this, and it happened the way you said. On the first Easter, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary watched the tomb from a distance, grief-stricken and disorientated. They'd come to finish off the burial preparations. Their eyes were puffy from crying and a bad night's sleep. And then suddenly, the earth reeled and rocked under their feet as God's angel came down from heaven, came right up to where they were standing. He rolled away the stone and sat on it. Shafts of lightning blazed from him. His garment shivering, shimmered snow white. The angel spoke to the women. There's nothing to fear here. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one they nailed to the cross. He's not here. He's been raised, just as he said. Come and look at the place where he was placed. I love how he invites me to investigate for myself, to come and see for myself, to come and see what God has done and experience the resurrection myself. The angel said, now, get on your way quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. That's the message. Everything changed with that announcement. All is not lost. We're going to see him again. The tomb is empty. What you said would happen has happened. Death swallowed up in resurrection. Death has become life. Grief has become awe. Joy has become wonder. Hopelessness to new beginnings. The end of something has become the beginning. Jesus, you are the one leading the resurrection parade, and I'm following in your footsteps.
Yeah.
Jesus, I still remember the day when you met me and stopped me in my tracks, enabling me to have the capacity to feel the joy of seeing you. As I write, I want to enter into the moment where for those first believers, grief turned into deep wonder and joy. They held on to you for dear life. I guess they were frightened that they might lose you again if they ever let go. You meant everything to them. They were devastated by your death, but upon seeing you alive, they were filled with a desire to worship you. They were seeing God, and for them, God is breathtaking. They were drawn to worship you because you are someone huge and magnificent and great and glorious. This was the greatest reunion. Jesus, clearly your friends demonstrated that the greatest benefit of the cross and the resurrection is to know you. When you breathed your last breath, at that moment the curtain of the temple was ripped in two, top to bottom. And there's another part of the Bible being read out. No more separation ever again. Nothing can ever get in the way. Reconciliation, relationship, intimacy, no more death, sickness, no more sin, eternity, a resurrection body like your glorious body, new heavens, new earth, uninterrupted experience of communion, all to come, bought for us. Some, though, when they saw you alive and back from the dead, were not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. They still had lingering doubts, but you were undeterred by their doubt. You commissioned those first people to announce to the world that you are alive, that you have all authority. Amen. You said, go.
Yeah.
That's the message. Announce it to the nations. I'm going to wait on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we invite you to make these things real to us, to give us eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and a heart to believe you. By his Spirit, Jesus this morning wants to stop maybe you for the first time in your tracks, that you might know him and meet him maybe for the first time. And because he's alive, you can meet him today. And you can have a relationship with God, and he can invite you into his incredible life. And you can have an adventure of being a worshipper of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's you, maybe just in your heart, you just say to Jesus, I want to know you. I want you to be my Lord and Saviour. I want to follow you. I want to give everything I am and pour it all out and follow you for the rest of my days. For others of you, maybe we're going to be drawn to worship in a brand new way, seeing God as breathtaking, seeing God as huge and magnificent and great and glorious. Yeah, so God, as we on this Easter Sunday, we celebrate that Jesus is alive. We celebrate that you are risen victorious, that you have conquered Satan and brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That you have conquered sickness, that you have conquered even sin, that you have made a way for us to be spotless and clothed in absolute perfection. And we ask you, even in this moment, that you might release the reality of the victory of the cross in healing bodies, that you might give signs and wonders that point to your resurrection. And so we say, even in these moments, if you know in your body you're sick, as it were, reach out and touch him. Healing might be released in bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. From your, you said that you have all authority. Yes. Means all authority, means everything, the capacity to speak to sicknesses and for them to go. End with this, that you, if you're a believer, we actually have a commission from Jesus to tell the world that Jesus is alive. That same commission that Jesus said to those first people, announce to the world that Jesus is alive. Announce to the world that he is resurrected. Announce to the world that there is a king, there is a creator, who is the ultimate authority, that we have a responsibility in word and deed and action to announce to the world the resurrection. So, just as we finish on this Easter Sunday, if you feel that you would like to ask Holy Spirit for a fresh sense of commissioning from Jesus for the work of announcing to the world, I just invite you to stand. Because if I wasn't standing, I would be standing. And pray, Holy Spirit, first of all, that we would know deep in our hearts that this is really, really good news. Because we always talk about what we enjoy. And if we're not talking about it, maybe we're not enjoying it as much as we think we are. So the first thing is, Jesus, convince us in our experience of how breathtakingly magnificent you are. We thank you for stopping us in our tracks. We thank you for the moment we came to know you, whether it was in a conference, a meeting, through a friend or a neighbor, or in a moment of reading the Bible. We thank you when our hearts were strangely warm and we knew it was real because we knew it, because we knew it, because we knew it. Cause us to be breathtakingly in love with you. Captivate our heart. Ruin us for anything else. Cause us to see the breathtaking majesty and the glory of God. So that, God, we would want to talk about you wherever we are, whether it's in word, action, deed, demonstrations, whether it's the prophetic or the healing or the announcement that Jesus is alive and you can be reconciled to God and you can be friends with God and you can be forgiven and you can begin a new life with God. We pray that captivate us with the wonder of what it means to be a born-again human being, to have our new heart, new nature, all as a gift of your life, death, and resurrection, Jesus. Captivate us. Captivate us. Overcome any of our fear, our doubts, or whatever it might be. Move upon our hearts. Let us see the harvest that's white of all the men and the women around us who are like the sheep without a shepherd, whom you are such a beautiful and amazing shepherd. Jesus, we want to take that commission that you gave along after your resurrection, and we want to take it personally, that we will announce that Jesus is alive to the nations. We will announce that Jesus is alive to our neighbors. We will announce that Jesus is alive to anybody who will listen. We will announce that Jesus is alive in word and action. We will take risks. We will step out of our comfort zone. We will not hold it to ourselves. We will not keep it to ourselves. We will not keep this as a private matter between us and you. You commissioned us to go to all the earth and to announce that you are alive, that you have all authority to go and teach people to obey all that you said and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit says, now why don't you believe that you could be baptizing people? Why don't you believe that you could be leading people to Christ? Why don't you believe that you could be introducing men and women to the Savior? You can, you can, you can, you can. The commission is upon you. It just says that some of them held back. They were not sure about worship. They didn't know about risking themselves totally, and they had lingering doubts. Jesus was undeterred. He still said it. Don't know about you. I fit into all those categories sometimes. But he still commissions us with all of it. Yes. So we pray, God, for opportunities this week, a multiplication of opportunities to announce that Jesus is alive, a multiplication of opportunities to announce the good news to the people around us. Drop thoughts in our heart. Give us compassion for the sick. Move us with a longing to see people reconciled to God. Yes. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's why you're on planet Earth, people.
Yeah.
Seriously. The future's amazing. New bodies, like Jesus' glorious body. New heavens, new earth. Absolutely uninterrupted relationship with God. No sun, because the glory of God is lighting up the whole place. You'll get to meet Moses and Elijah and all your heroes in the Bible and chat with them. And They'll get to meet you too and chat about your life. You'll go to places, you'll travel the earth. There'll be cities and amazing places and banquets and food. The best is yet to come. Amen. Death has lost its sting. And while we're here, we've only got one mission: to unconditionally love the world and to love one another. You are caught up in the greatest purpose the earth has ever heard about. Those first believers took the gospel to the whole known world, full of the Holy Spirit, gripped by the fact that Jesus they loved is alive, announcing it wherever they go. That is your purpose on earth. Do your job really well. That's all part of redemption and your glorious calling as well. The way you do your work, the way you love your family, all those things. But no, you are on earth for such a time as this. Amen. It's no accident that you live in London in 2024. It's no accident where you live and the family you were born into and the routines you have. It is full of glorious purpose. Amen. Our lives are not mundane. Our lives are not just to go through life being hustled and harried by the speed of London. We're here to bring and release the kingdom of God wherever we go.
Amen.
Whether you're disappointed that you know that you came from a nation, you had a high job, and God released those same jobs to people who had to take a lower job. But know there's purpose in everything. Amen. Everything is imbued with purpose and transformed by the commission of Jesus. Go into all the earth.
Amen.
Announce that Jesus is alive. Amen. Be captivated in your relationship with him. Be awakened to the reality that you are loved unconditionally. Revel in the reality that you are absolutely forgiven. Have no regrets about the past or no fears for the future. It's all been redeemed by the finished work of the Lord Jesus. He is who he said he is.
Amen.
He did what he said he would do.
Yes.
Now have confidence and go into your everyday life, your everyday, ordinary life that is now filled with incredible dignity, incredible purpose, and incredible, incredible meaning.
Amen.
Look to the Holy Spirit. Don't lean on your own understanding. Draw strength from God every single day. Wake up in the morning and be reminding yourself, I'm on planet Earth for the most glorious purpose there is.
Amen.
What I do today matters.
Amen.
The life I live today, living by agape love, announcing it to the world, is an incredible dignity.
Amen.
An incredible calling.
Amen.
And he loves you deeply. He loves us immensely.
Amen.
And he did it all for the joy that was set before him.
Amen.
Amen.